piano, I reckon. Kenzie playing the piano, Jonathan playing the guitar, and singing. We appreciate what God has given us, and glory to His name, that's for sure. Glad you're here this morning. They sung Hallelujah. I'll just lift up my hand and just say Hallelujah. That's about the best we can offer.
That's right.
Go ahead, Leah. I didn't see you standing there. I'm sorry. Could you at least say amen that you've been blessed? Yeah, we got far more than we. Yeah. We appreciate you guys and ladies more than you understand. Glad to have the Missionaries Rock of Ages ministry. Y'all know these people, don't you? This is not the first time you've been around. All right, they've been down there at Jason Sparks's. If they do anything around Jason, they got to have problems. No, we're glad they're here. Anyway, they just started on the mission field in March, and so you be praying for Tony and Hannah, and pray for them. If you got anything to say to them, anything afterwards, you help yourself. But they're not unfamiliar folks to us. We're glad they're here this morning, though. All right. If you'll listen carefully this morning, you'll get some help if you'll listen and believe. If you don't believe, it ain't gonna matter whether you listen or not. You hearing me? If you don't believe and won't believe what the Bible says, you ain't gonna get no help at all. But if you'll believe it, it'll help you. See, if you're lost and you'll believe it, it'll save you. And if you're a Christian and you believe it, it'll strengthen you. You just can't help but get help if you believe it. But I believe sometimes we that are saved and say we believe it fail to believe it. I sent a message to the preachers this morning. The message I sent to them was that we believe God or in God, but we don't believe God. See, it's hard-pressed to find somebody that really don't believe in God. Now, they say they're atheists, but to be an atheist, you deny that there's a God. God's got to be even in the belief of an atheist. Because you got to deny that he exists. You understand? So without God, you can't even be an atheist. You understand that? Or you understand what I'm telling you? Without God, you can't even be an atheist. But believing in God and believing God are two different things. Believing God is believe His Word, believe what He says. Believe what He says is true. Now, we'll believe parts of it. You know, we that say we're Bible believers, we're saying, I believe the Bible until it affects you personally. And you've got to deal with it. Then there's doubt arises. If there's no issues in your life, then it's, I believe it. But when it comes down, but you've got to apply it, then we start backing off from it. But let me tell you, the Bible will help you. And the Lord seen fit and preserve you a Bible that you could have, that you could constantly have help. Think about that. That's just what He done. He's seen fit for that. So I'm going to try to help you this morning, and part two will be tonight. So you'll need to come back tonight to get part two. All right, so I'm going to preach till I can't go no further, and then we'll quit, and we'll leave a plow on the ground, and we'll harness back up tonight. All right, we're not going to pull the plow or take the mule to the barn. We're going to leave it right set in the field and come back tonight. Everybody all right? Because I don't know how far I'll get. Everybody understand that terminology? All right, I know some of you young and don't understand things. But All right, let's pray together, can we? Father, I come. You are wonderful. And I lift my hands and say hallelujah. Because you're wonderful this morning. You are the great God, and I adore you. Ain't nobody like you. You are all in all, and you're all that I need, and I sure appreciate you this morning. Oh, I'm wicked. I'm a wretch. I know that. And I ask you to cleanse me. Help me to be what I need to be just now. Lord, I pray that in some way you'll cleanse me to make me usable for your glory this morning. I cannot do it by myself. There's no way. I can do nothing without you. I ask you to touch me fresh. Fill me with the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Preach me as you see fit. May it be for your glory only. And may we this morning that are listening learn to trust you more and more and more. And we're going to praise you for everything. In Jesus' name, I ask all this. Amen. Amen. I believe in the Almighty God. I believe in Him. I believe that He created everything that there is. I sat and listened to the Sunday School lesson this morning, and me and Rick, I know Rick's teaching in Genesis, but I didn't have no idea it would be so much together with the message this morning when he's talked about the Creator and taught on the Creator this morning, but I'm glad he did. But I believe in the Creator. I believe that God created everything. Everything. For the Bible says there was nothing made that was not made by Him. He made everything. I believe that this morning. I believe that He put on a robe of flesh and condescended down from heaven, humiliated Himself, if you would, humbled Himself to the death of the cross, died on an old rugged cross for our sins, shed His blood, was buried, rose again, ascended back to heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and is ready to come again. I believe that about God. I believe that. I don't believe in a story. I believe that. That's not a story. That's an account. Right. I believe that this morning. Now, I believe that there's none like Him. I believe He's above all. There's no one His equal. No one's His equal. No one has counseled the Lord. You know that? No one has counseled. No one has given Him any info. Because He had it all. He had all there was to have. Nobody helped Him. When he created everything, nobody helped him. He done it. He done it, and he done it, and it was good, and it was real good, and he was satisfied with it, and we get to enjoy it. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. I believe his every word. I believe the words he wants me to have is contained in this King James Bible. I believe that's his word. I believe it's preserved. I believe it's kept. I believe it's inspired. I believe it's breathed by God. I believe every word is there. I believe that though it contains the words of God and man and Jesus and angels and even Satan, I believe that it's still God's Word complete in its entirety from Genesis 1 to the last verse of Revelation. I believe that. Now, you say, well, we know all that. And then how's that helpful? Well, if I don't believe that, then there's no need to me to believe anything else. I've got to start there and believe that he is who he is. I've got to start there and believe that he is the God of the universe, that he is the great God. If he's not the great God, I need to find who he is. If he's not all power, I need to find out who is all power. But I believe him to be all power. I believe that. And I hope you believe that. Now, I find myself, when I get discouraged, when I get weighted down, I find myself not understanding, then I wonder, is he really the big God that he says he is? Now, you may not like to admit that, but there's things that come in our mind, maybe just for a little bit, and we'll wonder if God really got this. Now, we believe. We know and we believe. But there'll be something happen and we'll say, well, God, you got this? Because I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I don't understand it. And because we don't understand it, we put the lesser power on the Lord when my not understanding don't affect him one bit. Because he is the great God. He's above all. He's almighty and he's all powerful. And he's God. And there is none else. I like that. That's what the scripture we read this morning in Sunday school. That he is the Lord and there is none else. Huh? But I don't always understand it. But that's where it comes by faith. That's why this is a walk of faith. That's why you must accept it by faith. We live our whole life by faith. We do so many normal things by faith. And I told you this, and I'm not trying to be rude or crude, but it's such a simple thing that we will make an appointment with a doctor, go into a room we've never been in, take off all of our clothes, sit naked, and let a person we've never met come in and examine us, give us pills we don't know where they come from, give us a shot if we don't have a clue what's in the needle, and go out and say, you know, that's a good doctor. Now, if that's not faith, I don't know what is. And I always think of this, and I'll make you paranoid. There you go to the doctor. I wonder when I'm going to a new doctor if the janitor just stops pulling the trick on me and runs in and puts on a white coat and comes in there because they don't stay but a minute anyway. And I wonder if they say, well, I'll be right back. I wonder if that's really, because that's something I've never saw again. And I wondered if that was not the janitor or one of the maids just put on their coat playing a joke. But we live by faith. Is it not true? Our whole life is by faith. Everything we do is by faith. But when it comes to believing God, we want to back off. We'll put faith in man, we'll put faith in doctors, we'll put faith in friends, we'll put faith in family. But when it comes right down to it, nobody can do anything but God. But God. And if there's anybody to trust this morning, it's the Lord. If there's anybody to believe in, it's the Lord this morning. If there's anybody to have faith in, it's the Lord. And we need to know that He's in control. He's in control this morning. Now, I want you to think about it. Turn to Psalms 103. We'll read a text here, read some scripture, and we'll preach on this today and tonight anyway. Psalms 103. You know, I've laughed. I said it as the Lord would direct me with the message and the scripture. And I was thinking, we just had the election. And I've laughed because this morning I heard it said several times. Yesterday I heard it said, now God's in control of everything. Right? Well, what if the Republicans hadn't won? What would we have said? Would you still say the same thing? Huh? Because we were trying to figure out what happened 4 years ago. I just thought I'd mention that. When everything runs our way, we don't have no trouble believing. When everything is like I believe, then it's right. See, if you say something and I already believe it, amen, amen. But if you say something I'm not sure about, I don't say nothing. Even if I'm reading it in my hand. Even if I got my Bible in my hand and I'm reading it, and somebody says, I don't know about that. And I'm going to prove it to you here in just a minute. All right? But let's look on. Psalms 103, let's look at verse 19. We'll read 19 down through 22. And we're going to try to give you some thoughts this morning. Is everybody okay? Psalms 103, verse 19 says, "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearken unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His host, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." I want to start with verse 19. "And the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." If I want a title this morning, it's just real simple this: He's still on the throne. Do you believe it? He's still on the throne. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe He's still God? Do you really believe He's in control of everything? I mean everything. It says that the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom ruleth. That means He is supreme in authority. His kingdom rules over all. That His throne is above all. Do you believe that this morning? You believe He's still on the throne? Now they sing a song every now and then around here. It says, He's still on the throne, so what could be wrong? Well, there's a lot of wrong around. But that ain't got nothing to do with Him being on the throne. Do you believe in your life this morning, do you believe that He's still on the throne? Do you believe He's all power in your life? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that He knows everything about you today, that He works with you every day? Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, then you're missing out on life. You're most miserable if you can't believe that this morning. If you believe that there's someone else equal, you're miserable. If you believe that there's somebody else more powerful, you're miserable this morning. Because there's nobody like God. There's nobody like Him this morning. Now, when I think about that, He's still on the throne. We're talking about God's throne. We're talking about a place of authority, a place of supreme authority. This throne this morning is what He rules from. You understand He's the ruler? The Creator, the brother Rick preached about this morning, taught us this morning. You understand He's the ruler. that He don't answer to nobody. He don't answer to us. He don't answer to the White House or the governor's mansion or the kingdoms in Europe. He don't answer. He answers to no one. He's perfect. He's holy. He cannot make a mistake. It's not that He don't make a mistake. He cannot make a mistake. His holiness won't allow Him to be wrong. Do you believe that this morning? See, we say we believe in God. We believe God. Do you believe in this God this morning? Do you believe that He's got everything in control? Do you believe that your mess ups has messed Him up? Our mess ups ain't messed Him up, they messed us up. He's in control. He's aware of what's going on. He's aware. The Bible already tells us that if a sparrow falls to the ground, that He's aware. The Bible already tells us that He's aware of the number of the hairs on your head. Huh? He's already aware of that. That is the God that we've been trying to preach to you and teach to you and try to encourage you to believe and have faith in. It's not a image or a statue that's carved out that has nothing. And the Bible calls them dumb gods. Right? They cannot speak. They cannot serve. They cannot help, for they're an inanimate object. But the God, the great God, is the one who made you and made me and made everything. He's God. And He's on His throne this morning. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. He's a sovereign God. I know people get nervous when you mention that word sovereign because of the pollution in religious circles that have brought around Calvinism and predestination and salvation. Can I tell you, He's sovereign. He knows everything. But nobody's predestined for heaven or hell. I just want you to understand that. So I'm not afraid to use the word sovereign. He is a sovereign God. Can I tell you what sovereign God means? He has absolute control and unlimited authority in every issue, in everyone's life, in everything that happens in all of creation. That's how sovereign He is. There ain't nobody better or bigger or greater than God is. And you say, why is all that important? Because you panic. Because you weary. You panic, you worry, you get bent out of shape, you go to pieces, you pull your hair, you bite your nails, you cry, you do all this. It's because you are not believing that He is the great God that's above all and in control. And I want to encourage you to believe Him. You say, yeah, but we're just human. No, you're not just human. Forget that foolishness. If you're saved, you're born again. God is great God, Rick taught about this morning, lives in you. He lives inside of you. Now, if you're not saved, you ought to bite your nails and go into convulsions and get all bent out of shape because you're going to hell. You ought to be worried. You ought to be concerned. You ought to be scared to put your head outside the door, afraid somebody might run over to the church bus. I mean, you're so close to hell, you don't even understand. If you're not saved, you ought to be in panic mode. But we either are saved or not. But we are. Because I don't know that we really, truly believe He's on His throne. See, this throne I'm talking about this morning, it's the same throne that Satan wanted. So, are you listening to me close now? It's the same throne that Satan wanted. So, God pitched him out on his ear. Yes. Amen. Satan is not powerful than God. Amen. He's not equal with God. No. He is a created being. And God pitched him out on his ear. Huh? And he hit with a thud, and he's upset. Are you hearing me? Ain't nobody bigger than my God this morning. Nobody. Nobody. And because of that this morning, I can trust Him that nothing's going to be wrong. Nothing's going to be hurtful. He's not going to hurt me. He's going to help me in some way. But we don't like to believe that because there's things we don't agree with God on. Now, if I don't agree with you, it's because I know more. If you don't agree with me, it's because you know more. So if you don't agree with God, guess what? You think you know more. But I'm here to tell you, you don't. I'm here to tell you, you don't know more than God does. Now, we think we get ourselves in circumstances and fixes, and we wonder where God's at. God's the same place He was. You didn't consult Him before you made a mistake, and you wonder why you're in a mess. Well, talk to Him now about it. Huh? Don't blame Him. Talk to Him about it. We're going to have to believe He's still on the throne. This throne is the same one Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6 when he said, I saw the Lord high and holy lifted up. We're talking about the throne. We're talking about authority. We're talking about the God. Is that okay? Just trying to get a little foundation. Do you believe this God that I'm talking about this morning? Do you know if I read about the thrones, Brother Rick, remember here when Brother Rick was teaching Revelation, and I believe you said this, I'm pretty sure you did. You were talking about all the thrones, and in Revelation 4 and 5, there's 17 times thrones mentioned in 25 verses. I believe that's what you told us. 17 times the throne is mentioned in 25 verses in Revelations 4 and 5. And it's talking about His high and holy and exalted place because there's none bigger. See, when you got saved this morning, you didn't just get saved and say, well, that's all there is. No, you put faith in the Almighty God that rules this universe, and there's nobody ever any bigger. And that's who's running your life this morning.
Amen.
So you ought to glorify His name. That's what this psalm says. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It says, bless the Lord in verse 20. Bless the Lord in verse 21. And bless the Lord, O my soul, there in verse 22. I want you to understand He's bigger than what's going on. But I want to try to encourage you to trust Him this morning. Now, I'm trying, if I can. That's why you got to come back tonight. I want to build up where He's at and how big He is, because you've got questions. You've got questions of why things are happening in your life. You've got questions why your life ain't perfect. Why you're not getting everything you want. And why some people are sick and why some people ain't. And you're wondering why some people die and some people don't. And you're wondering why this happens and that happens. That's what you do every day of your life. We wonder that. It comes to our mind. We wonder why the world's in the shape it's in and why there's evil and all these things. We wonder if God is God who He says He is, why does little children have cancer? And if God's the God that He's supposed to be, then why does my loved one have to die young? And if God's who God is supposed to be, then why is there a hell? Why don't we just save everybody? I mean, we've got questions. Them are questions that you ask. You may not ask them out loud, but you'll ask them in your mind. And it all comes back that you're going to have to come back and have faith in God to start with. Then the other questions will start answering themselves. But see, what I'm afraid of today, I'm afraid of an unconverted church membership. I'm afraid of trying to get goats to follow Christ instead of sheep. And I'm afraid that the people who name the name of Christ don't believe God. Just hang with me. I believe Him to be in control. I believe Him to be in control with everything because He is a sovereign God. His supreme absolute rule, control and authority over all. I believe that. I believe He is omnipotent. That means He is all power. I believe He's omniscient. That means He's everywhere at once. Or omnipresent, everywhere. I believe He's omniscient and He knows everything there is to know. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That's God. Do you believe that? Think about it. You say, well, that's an awful lot to believe. That's my God. That's my God. That's who we preach to you. Huh? Think about it. He is above all. He's not on our level. I was trying to explain to a person this week, and we try to rationalize and bring the Lord down on our level. You can't do that. He's not that. He's so much higher that the earth is His footstool. He's so much wiser. Huh? I mean, we can't even fix a lawnmower that'll run for so many years. Huh? And He's made these bodies to last year after year, constantly, never stopping. You know that our system never turns off? That it works continually? You can't get a motor to do that? You can't get an engine to do that? It just works, and then when He decides to stop it, He stops it. But He turns it off. That's the God we're talking about. That's the God we want you to understand, to trust, and believe. Well, let's hang with me now. That's why you got to come back tonight. You ain't going to get all of it today. All right, we still okay? See, in Genesis 1:1, He is the supreme creator. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created a conscious plan. And He created everything. He created, and Brother Rick will show us more and more, He never created the cow before He had grass for it to eat. Everything's done in order. Think about that. I wouldn't have thought of that. I said, man, I'm going to make a cow. I'll make a cow. Oh, well, now what's the time to feed him? So I make grass so when I create him, he'll have something to eat. Did you ever think of that? He created fish, but not until He created water to put him in. He created birds to fly, but not until He had some sky. Everything's in order. You do understand that. That He made everything in perfect order. He is the great God and Creator. That's why He's in such authority this morning. But then when I read in Genesis chapter 3, He is even supreme and authority and sovereign in the fall of man. Man sinned in the garden. That's why you're a sinner this morning. Man sinned in the garden and you're a sinner because the Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. God told Adam, if when you eat of the tree, you'll die. And wherefore the one man sinned into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's what the Bible said. And people say, well, God surely didn't make man fall. No, He did not make man fall. Man had a choice. Had one rule. Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One rule. And man didn't want to keep it. But did God panic? No. Because before he ever made the world, he went ahead and had a plan that a lamb would be slain for the sin of the world. And nothing took God by surprise, because God is in complete control. Had a flood. Y'all remember I read about the flood? There's no archaeologist in the world that will deny that there had to be some kind of flood to make everything the way it is. Yeah. And you say, well, how was that done? God allowed it. He rained up and down. Yeah. We've all seen it rain sideways, but it rained up and down. All the fountains of the deep burst open, and all the rain from heaven come down. Hey, was water coming up? Hey, was water coming down? Huh? And you say, well, how does that make him in control? Because he is so concerned about everything that he directed one person to build an ark for his family, and then through the storm, he directed that ark and all around the floodwaters and brought it to land there on Mount Ararat, and there he put it in complete control of the whole situation. I want you to understand this morning, if the God that I'm serving can make everything that we see, and the God that I'm serving have already planned when things don't go like we think they ought to go, and he's got an answer. And then when catastrophe comes, that he'll guide even one person to work everything out, I believe he can take care of your life. Amen. Are you following me? He's in control. He's in control. You say, well, he don't know how I feel. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows what you're thinking right now. Huh? I'm trying to show you who he is. Do you believe that? Do you believe he's still on the throne? That's the same God. The same God is on the throne. We still okay? If I read my Bible from Genesis 12 all the way to the Revelation, I see how supreme he is by working a plan. I'm trying to show you how big he is. In Genesis chapter 12, you'll find a man come on the scene by the name of Abraham. If you take Abraham, who was a friend of God and found favor with God, God made him a promise. Now, here's how, I want you to hear me now. This is how important that God is to one person. God's word to one person is so perfect. He said, I will bless you and bless your seed as the sands of the sea. Brother Rick taught it even this morning, as the stars of the heaven and the sands of the sea. And then the God that made the bees bring honey and live, what, 30 days and spend their whole life making less than a teaspoon of honey. That he's got different kind of bees, and he's got birds that eat grass and they got feathers, and he's got rabbits that eat grass and they got fur, and he's got turtles that eat grass and they got a shell. That's not evolution, that's creation. We still okay? Now he got everything planned out. And then he starts on people. And he started on Abraham. He said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to bless your family. So Abraham had Isaac. No big deal. One guy. Where's the seed? Then he said, all right, now Isaac, you're going to have Jacob. Well, still here we just have two kids, Jacob and Esau. Now they ain't the three. They don't look like no stars or sands of the sea yet. He said, now multiply. And Jacob had 12, so then it started. All in a line to call one the name Judah. To where Christ would come from. The line of the tribe of Judah. To take one man and orchestrate thousands of years now with mankind and seed. To get one man called Jesus to die on an old rugged cross for our sins. That's the plan of God. And it was with one person he started it with Abraham. Don't tell me he's not aware of you and what you need. That's how big he is. I want to show you that he's aware. Are you still following me this morning? Now that's how he fulfilled every promise. He gave us a Bible that's a written transcript of Christ from Genesis to Revelation that he's shown and pictured in the old and comes to life in the new in detail of even the town that he would be born in 800 years before he's ever born there. And yet, we have trouble trusting with our families, with our health, with our decisions, because we don't really want to believe God. We're still okay. Do you believe He's on the throne this morning?
Yeah, yeah.
Can the Lord have prepared His throne in the heavens and His kingdom ruleth over all? I serve Thee, great God. He's bigger than my problems this morning.
Yeah.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God this morning.
Yeah.
He'll help you. You believe that today? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you believe He'll save you this morning? Do you believe He did save you?
Yeah, yeah.
But how come we have trouble believing He'll take care of the rest of our life? We'll trust Him as our Savior, but we won't trust Him with a doctor's report. And we won't trust Him with a scan or with an x-ray or a PET scan. We won't trust Him with what this doctor said. We won't trust Him with what this person does. Can I tell you, He's above all this morning. And I just want you to believe Him and trust Him today. That's all I'm trying to get you to see. That He's big. We're talking about we can trust the Lord. He's sovereign. He's great. He's mighty. He's all power. But do you believe Him? Now, I've said all that to get us to where we live. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And when we say that we believe and we see His great hand, I mean, you do understand all the workings that we've just told you. Do you understand everything I've told you? Talk to me. That's how big He is. Then let's read Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now do you believe He's God? Do you still believe He's God? What's going on in your life? What's going on in your life that's working for good? What circumstances done come in your life that you say there ain't no good in this? What's going on in your life today that's making you wonder if God's even aware of your existence? But yet the Bible says, and we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Only, and you know, you don't know unless you believe. I'm asking you this morning, do you believe He's still on the throne? You got issues. You got problems. You got things you've never faced. Do you still believe He's able?
Yes.
You believe He's able this morning?
Huh?
Yes. But you don't know what the future is going to hold. But can I tell you, He's got your future too?
Yes.
You say, yeah, but you don't know what's happening in my family. If you know what's happening in my family, there ain't no way any good has come out of that yet.
That's
yet. Yet. He ain't done yet. He's still on the throne. You say, but I don't understand why. Well, I'm not going to stand here and tell you I understand why. But I'm going to stand here and tell you He understands why. I'm going to tell you this, and we know that all things work together for good. It didn't say for your good. Well, that's misquoted a lot of times.
Yes, it is.
It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It might not be the good that you're used to.
That's right. Yes.
See, we only look at good as prosperity. But sometimes prosperity ain't good. Rick taught us that this morning. Sometimes it takes poverty to be good. Sometimes it takes losing things to be good. Are you hearing? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. To the saved. He is involved in our life every day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He provides for you every day? I'm asking you, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that He protects you every day? He does. I mean, how stupid are we? Think about it. How stupid are we? What did you do this week that you shouldn't be here? Huh? Well, if you got on 19, you took a big chance. Huh? You did. If you got on, if you got down and got off of 19 on 60 there in HICO, you took a chance. So they've got such a mess down there, you don't know where you're coming or going. That pictured my life. I was down there the first of the week, and that pictured my life. I said, well, this is my brain. Ain't nobody knows which way they're going. Huh? Most dangerous place I've ever saw. Right now. Huh? But God keeps you safe. God watch over us. Do you know that the Bible says, can we just read it? Let's turn over to Psalms. Are we okay this morning? I'm just trying to encourage you just a little bit. Let's see here. Well, I give it to the veterans, so we'll just read a little bit of it here. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Let's just start around verse 9. That'd be a good place. We'll start in the middle. All right. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge. The Lord is my refuge. Is the Lord your refuge this morning? Huh? Now, the angels ain't my refuge. The Lord is my refuge. But you know He'll give me angels to help me. Because we're going to read on, it says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I just want you to know He'll take care of you. And He takes care of you every day. But we don't look at it like that. We've done it. And everything's doing good, we don't want it done. When everything goes bad, it's God's fault. When everything's going good, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. But when it goes bad, God, why did you do that to me? The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He'll work all things for good to them that love God. You believe that this morning? You say, I don't understand it. Then ask you to understand it. I ask you to believe it. Will you believe it? Will you believe He'll take care of you? Will you believe that this morning? Do you believe this morning that nothing can touch you unless it gets permission from the Lord? I believe with all my heart, nothing comes to me unless He gives approval. He gives us an example with Job. In fact, Satan don't even bother Job. Till God says, hey, Satan, has you ever considered Job?
Yeah.
Satan didn't come and say, hey, God, I've been considering Job. That ain't what it said. He says, hey, Satan, you ever considered Job? How there's none like him.
Yeah.
Satan said, well, he only does that because you're good to him. He said, well, mess with him a little bit. Mess with him a little bit. So he takes all of his children, all of his wealth. Takes everything he has. Satan comes to throne again. And God says, hey, you ever considered Job? Ever considered what's going on? He's still praising me. I took everything he had and he worshipped. You know why? Because he believed God.
Amen.
I wanted to tell you this morning, listen, there's panic. I've been talking to preachers all over the country and there's panic in the churches.
Yeah.
We just had an election and I've never seen Christians panic more over an election.
Yeah.
Why? That's foolish.
Yeah.
Why do we panic over anything?
Yeah.
God, the Bible says, God is the one who sets in order kings and governors and magistrates. God does what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Huh? We still okay? I'm trying to get us to trust the Lord this morning. That's all I'm trying to do. Trying to get you to trust the Lord. God is my refuge. He's provided care for me. He's provided care. Listen, I look over my life and I see the hand of God. Can you see the hand of God in your life? I mean, I've had tragedies. I've had circumstances. I've had ailments. Huh? I mean, and people say, well, we get tired of him. Well, listen to me. You don't have a clue of what God has protected me from. Huh? When I was in high school, was in a car wreck, went through the window glass one way, back through this way, car turned over, crushed my chest. I was black from my chin to my belly button. All the way across. Got out and walked for help. Then he knocked me out. Huh? In the hospital for a week, couldn't move, couldn't breathe, but I'm here today. Huh? Fell off 26 feet flat on my back after I was blowed up with 33,000 pound of air pressure at the plant in September of 91, and they sewed me back together with 180 stitches. Put my arm back on and put me all back together. And then the following June, I fall 26 feet flat on my back and get up and walk in the house. Huh? You say, well, it don't sound to me like he's protecting you. Well, could you walk back in the house after that? Could you? I'm just asking. Huh? I mean, stroke, heart attack. Huh? Fell off a house just a year ago. Huh? Fly me to honey. Hey, listen, I had a stroke and preached for you the following week. Rick said I had a weekend stroke. Huh? I left there and as you said, I ain't fooling with you no more. Every time I'm around you, you die. Huh? They almost pronounced me dead up here at Summersville. Go to Morgantown. I come home in a couple of days. Preach for you the following week.
Amen.
Fall off the house. I was dead on my porch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I was dead on my porch. They fly me to Huntington. Got out of the hospital Friday. I preached for you Sunday. Held a revival the following week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't easy, but it was done.
Amen.
I'm not saying none of this was smart. I'm just telling you how it happened.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to understand this morning, if I couldn't trust God for every little thing. But see, it's more, that's big, them are big things. Huh? I still got a boy. I don't have to go to a tombstone and talk to my boy. He may not be completely right, but can I tell you, he's got more sense than I've got. Because at least he'll spend his day worshiping the Lord. Huh? But them are big things. But what about the nights that I've had to pray because there wasn't no bread for the kids, or there wasn't no milk in the refrigerator, and they was already got a cutoff notice that there wasn't going to be no power in the house. So you get on your knees and you pray, and somebody calls and says, hey, can you do a little extra work, or will you work overtime? And there's a little bit of things provided. Can I tell you, I know how he protects me every day and provides for me every day. So when something else happens, then you just go ahead and believe God. I'm trying to tell you this morning that things still work out. I'm going to have to quit this morning. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. But can I tell you, if you don't know Christ, this don't apply to you. None of that applies to you if you don't know Christ. If you don't know Christ, it's not working for your good. It's not going to be good at all. If you don't know Christ, it ain't going to be no help to you, period. The only thing that God is being good to you for now is that it might lead you to repentance. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Throw it up here on the board, would you? Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God being good to you, you've got a job, you've got children, you've got a wife, you've got a husband, you've got the money in your pocket, and God's doing that to you just to bring you to repentance that you might believe on him. And you keep denying him and rejecting him, and he'll jerk the rug out from under you, and to hell you'll go and lose everything on the way. Huh? But he's the authority this morning, and he's still taking care. I'm going to quit right there. I got more I'd like to give you. You have to come back tonight, and we'll pick up. But I want to ask, do you believe God this morning? I'm going to ask you if you believe in God. The Bible says that the devil believes in God. He trembles. He trembles, but do you believe God? Do you believe His Word? Do you believe His Word? Do you believe that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior? Do you believe that He's the only way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do you believe that this morning? Do you understand that you're a sinner? Oh, we live so proud and we don't need God. We don't need nothing else. Oh, I read a little thing that a preacher preached on hell. And after he preached on hell, an older man came to him and said, preacher, do you know what's worse than going to hell? And the preacher said, I don't know anything that's worse than going to hell. He said, it's going to hell and watching your children bypass you, falling in the bottomless pit, crying out to you, why didn't you tell me? See, we don't understand the importance of believing God. See, I'm going to have tragedy in my life. I'm going to have circumstances come in. There's going to be sickness that invades my home. It's already invaded my home. I have no control over. None whatsoever. I better believe God in it. Better believe God. There's going to be rocky road in our life, Sherland. We don't wait till the road gets rough to trust Him. We better trust Him when the road's smooth. So we know how when the rough road comes. Because He's God, He's in control. Listen, I'm not trying to blow anybody out or make you bored with God. Listen, if you're bored with anything I've told you, you're in bad shape. If I can't stand here and exhort how great and powerful God is, good to you. Look, what has He done in your life? Huh? Hey guys, let me just talk to you. Remember when we all started and we didn't, there was more bills than there was payday? Remember? Remember when you went home and you sat down with your wife and said, "We ain't going to be able to make it," but you made it? You remember? Huh? See, there ain't always been money in the bank. The bills ain't always been paid. There ain't always been food in the cellar. There ain't. It ain't always been that way. It ain't always been that the kids is healthy and the grandkids is okay. It's not always been that way. Somebody watching over us this morning. Somebody providing and protecting. Huh? Hey guys, how many of us got children? Hold your hand up if you got children. Huh? Did you not understand that your wife went right down to the valley, right down to the door of death, and birthed you a child, and you could have lost everything there in a very split second. But God protected you and your children, your family. But we just go on like a hog eating acorns. Huh? And don't thank Him over nothing or glorify His name. Some of you guys and ladies, y'all was in the service and y'all saw things you won't talk about and we don't need to hear. But yet you're sitting here in the church house. You've been applauded and honored, but God is the one that helped you. It wasn't us back home. It was God that helped you. Ain't no way we can all talk about the pieces of slate that just missed us in a coal mine. I remember running a shuttle car in the mines and I seen the top drip. I was heading down to the feeder where I was going to dump my load there in the shuttle car and I seen the top drip and I was going down here. Wasn't no way to stop and I just had it to the floor anyway and I just kind of hunkered down and the whole top fell and took the back off the snap where my light cord comes up my back and just that much further and it would have smashed my head flat as a pancake. Huh? I mean, there's time after time after time. Huh? I think I better trust Him. Huh? Oh, but I remember when I was lost without God, without anything. I remember when I understood that I was a sinner and somebody come to my rescue and it was somebody that I'd heard of and never had met. But boy, when he come by my way, I knew him. And he spoke peace to my troubled soul. And I believe he was God. And I believe he saved me. And he done just that very thing. And this morning is what you need. And we better believe God this morning. I believe He's in control. I believe He's in control of the weather. I don't believe that Hurricane Helen come because they seeded the clouds. I believe God done it. Huh? I believe He done it in the middle of the Bible Belt. Of all the places to have a hurricane is in the middle of the Bible Belt. I believe there's a reason because we've done compromised His Word. I believe it ought to be judgment if you just want to know what I believe. Though I know it's a little tough, I believe He's in control. I believe He's in control of your life. He's allowed things to happen that you might give Him glory. Have you given Him glory? Have you given Him glory? Bill, you stood the other day and give Him glory for a person to give you a kidney. You got three of them. I ain't got but two. You got three. He been good to you, ain't he? Huh? See, for the goodness of God, we ought to glorify Him. And time I look at Don Williams when he walks in. Dead man walking. Dead man walking, Don. That's what it is. Dead man walking. Huh? Listen this morning. I want you to believe God. You young people don't have a clue. You don't have a clue what it's like to do without. You don't have a clue to what God has provided you, because everything's been handed you on a silver platter. And us older ones have forgotten where we come from, what we was. We've forgotten the sinners we was. We forgot the liquor we drank and the dope we done and all the whoremongers and whoring around that was done in our life. We forgot how much we've been forgiven. God sitting in control, sitting up, looking down on us, blessing us hand over fist. Oh, I ain't got no reason to panic this morning. He's still on the throne. Thank God, let's go ahead and leave this world trusting this morning. How about you? Father, speak to us. We need you. We need your help. They've lost here this morning, Lord, and need you. I can't convict them, you can. I can't draw them, but you can. I can't save them, but you can. I can't make them believe, but you can. Lord, there's a bunch of us hard-headed Christians. We've took you for granted for so long. We've growled at you and got mad at you. Blamed you and accused you that you're perfect and you're holy. You can't make a mistake. We've turned our back on you. We've walked the other way. We've called everybody to help but not you. God, we're a sorry lot. I pray that we might believe you again. That we might trust you again for every little thing. I pray, oh God, that you might move us today to a greater faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.